Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, welcome. Good evening. It's Tuesday night and Lost Limbs Foundation Radio. This is Robin Terry. I'm going to be guest hosting tonight for Mike Couch, who's actually going to be one of our visitors tonight and one of the guests on our show. And we got a lot of stuff to cover. Everybody knows that Mike took this climb with some great friends of his, Nick Roth, Jeff Waldridge, Elizabeth Saint, and Nick Roth's dad. So we're going to pop in here and get them on right now, and let's get this thing going. So we just pull these guys in. I think, Mike, you're on there or not, right?
I'm here, yeah.
Should have Nick and Jeff also, I think.
Hey, I'm here. Going? Can you hear me okay?
Yep, hear you great. So I think everybody's
here
there. Cool.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Good, how about yourself?
I've only done this like three times, so it's I'm always kind of impressed when I can actually push the buttons and make it work right. So. But, hey, just to kind of get it going, because I know this is going to be interesting, and you guys have a lot of information to share with everybody. So just something for basically for all three of you, but especially start with Mike and have you guys kind of contribute also. But, Mike, why would you want to climb a mountain?
That's kind of what I'm thinking now. No, I mean, you know, the whole idea from the thing was to – kind of maybe, you know, help create awareness for the charity, help raise money for the charity. And, you know, one of the other big things was to, you know, show these kids that, you know, and anyone else actually that just says, you know, I can't do this. And it's like, well, you don't know until you try. So, you know, why not go for it and see what you can do? I mean, cause like we're capable of so much more than what we think we are. Yeah, it was just one of those things that I wanted to push my limits as far as I possibly could, and I did.
So, yeah, and Nick and Jeff, why did you guys decide to go ahead and do this with him?
I think Jeff was forced into it.
I was totally forced into this.
You know, for me, it was Mike called me up months ago, and he asked me if I wanted to climb a mountain. Because he wanted to push himself, he wanted to try to challenge and, you know, raise awareness for the Lost Limbs Foundation and raise money for the children. So I said, absolutely. I was 100% on board because I love challenges, number one. And number two, you know, Mike's just a good guy. I wanted to support him, and I thought it would be a lot of fun. And it would be kind of epic to conquer a mountain. So, you know, at first he was like, hey, let's climb Mount Kilimanjaro or one of the other mountains. I'm like, why don't we try conquering a little bit something, you know, that I've been up before. You know, so when I was like 12 years old, I think it was around 12 or so, I climbed Mount Washington with my dad, but I was really young, a lot more hyper. And, you know, it was fun back then. I can vaguely remember. So I thought Mount Washington would be a perfect fit since it is definitely challenging. You know, the weather is very scary too when you get above the tree line. So I think that was the most challenging thing, is trying to be prepared for anything that kind of hit us on that day. We were really nervous about the weather, the high winds, and, you know, knowing when to stop or to turn around if something goes bad. So it was interesting conversation, but that's what we started training for. And I remember Mike and I talking, throughout this journey and just saying, you know, how we're going to have to push ourselves in the gym and be prepared for anything. So I know Mike was working on a ton of different things for the last couple months, and he's really proud of him to just follow through mentally and physically with it.
And on my end, I was forced into the situation. I was at work and I got a phone call from Nick and he was like, "Hey, do you wanna film us climbing a mountain?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think that'd be cool. I'd do that." And then they told me the mountain, and then I had a chance to Google it, and I had the chance to do research, and I had the chance to find out that it was the deadliest small mountain in the world. And there was like 150 people have died there, and the weather conditions are insane. So I was like, well, how am I going to film this? So, you know, it was a challenge, but, you know, I did it. And, you know, for me personally, I like to do crazy things like that sometimes. So, you know, a lot of people don't know, but I've had like all kinds of classes on survival, wilderness survival, and, you know, just stuff like that. That's, you know, it's kind of a side passion, is just kind of doing that kind of thing, getting out in the woods and doing weird things. And, but yeah, it was definitely something where when we got up there, that's when it really hit that, yeah, we're going to climb that tomorrow and it's going to really probably suck.
Yeah, Jeff, you mentioned something also that a lot of people don't realize, and I looked it up myself, and I agree with you. It's actually rated as like the most dangerous small mountain in the country or the world. I mean, it's
the world, yeah, effect. And
yeah,
and it's because of the weather conditions, and you know it changes rapidly, and we get to see that firsthand, and I'm sure we'll go into that more in a little bit, but I mean it was like insane. Weather changes. It was incredible, and I can see now why people die up there, because there's several people that go into that hike and they're not prepared. You know, they may not have the proper equipment, they may not have what they need, and you know, as we'll get into it later, it almost really got bad for us. So you know, you can see very quickly how you're thrust very fast into a survival situation, and it was something. It was a life experience. You know, when people ask, I always tell them it was the absolute dumbest, scariest, self-fulfilling thing I think I've ever done. So,
yeah, I looked it up actually and found out that somebody had actually died on that mountain like 10 days or 2 weeks before you guys climbed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of research and stuff going into it. You know, even the Native Americans feared this mountain. Even if you look up all the history and research that dates back, you know, centuries about this mountain, I mean, it is very scary. A lot of people have lost their lives. It's documented one of the highest speeds in the world on top of the mountain. I forget the exact. I forget.
I think
how
it was 231.
It was 231.
Yeah, it was like 230
something. 231 miles an hour. You know, it was crazy because as we progressed, and we'll probably get all into this soon, but it got to about 70 miles an hour up top when we were hitting the peak, and the weather changed rapidly. We started around 7 a.m., which was about, I think it was around like 60s or maybe close to 70s in the sunlight. It was nice out until we started going into the woods. As we progressed up, you know, it was really nice, actually. We got really lucky. And then all of a sudden, it started hailing out. The clouds were – they got really dark. I was getting nervous with some of the storms that started brewing in and moving quickly over our heads. And then it kind of just halted all of a sudden. And then a little bit of sunlight peeked through. And then all of a sudden, it would change again, hail. And then we're like, oh, man, we're going to get hailed on. And then when we got above the tree line, it dropped down to about low 40s. So that's why we're wearing – well, we started wearing the mask, the ninja mask, Jeff and I, because all the mosquitoes were eating us alive.
And black flies were everywhere. It was awful.
Yeah. Those were horrible.
Did you guys have bug problems when you went up higher?
Did we have bug problems?
No. When you got above tree line, all those went away. There wasn't anything up there. I mean, there was literally out there. I remember this one time I was really high up and I was by myself, and I looked down and there was just this little black bug crawling around. And I was like, "Well, what are you doing up here?" You know, you don't see anything. There's nothing up there.
Or that was Jeff hallucinating from high altitude.
I think I hallucinated some too.
That might have been the actual thing there.
Yeah. It's only Jeff and a little salamander or something.
Probably.
Did it talk to you, Jeff? Did it say anything?
It was definitely a weird experience when you got higher up there.
How long in the trip did you guys realize that it might be a little tougher than what you had actually anticipated?
What do you think, Mike? This is all you
know. I was doing pretty good there at first. It seemed like after we started getting to, we were getting into some areas where there was a lot of rocks and a lot of roots and everything that started getting really tough, and there was like some big steps for me. So for me to do that, like I had points that, you know, Nick was having to like help me up. Sometimes I'd hand him crutches and I'd grab like a tree or something, and he would like grab my other arm and like pull me up. And, you know, it was pretty crazy. I mean, like, you know, it seemed like the more we progressed, the harder that it got, and the more that it started working on my muscles and all that, you know, where I started feeling everything. You know, and I was starting to hurt before we even actually got out of the tree lines. And then when we got it out of the tree lines into the boulders and stuff, I was struggling big time.
You could kind of see that in your face on that video that Nick was taking, you know, when you guys were at the top. Yeah, I could definitely tell that there was some struggling. But I did notice Jeff. So, Jeff, where did Jeff go during all that?
I was filming a lot of that. So,
he was,
you know,
seeing,
like, that's the thing, like, for me, it was challenging because I would have to, like, run ahead and film, and then I would have to let them pass, and I would have to get them going, and then I'd have to run ahead again. So it was constant, like, okay, I got to get over here and get the shot. I got to get over here and get these shots. I got to go forward. I got to go back. And it's just it was definitely, you know, and I constantly had the camera in my hand, so that was another challenge to try to figure out is how I'm going to film this and what best, you know, camera rig to use and all that stuff. So I figured all that out. And audio, what kind of audio are we going to have? So I literally had equipment in my backpack for anything. So, I mean, I had a GoPro if I needed it. I had all kinds of mics. So we were definitely going to get the footage. I mean, it was definitely going to happen. And we got some amazing stuff that you will see in the future.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks great. I think it was challenging from the get-go because when we walked into the woods, you know, there was this little river. And there was one rock, log. You know, it's something like out of Robin Hood. We have to fight the guy when you're going over the log. And it's all slippery and stuff. So, I mean, Mike is looking at it, and the thing that stinks is, you know, Mike has prosthetic, like, the new one that you had, Mike, that you brought, that was amazing, but the valve broke on it, right?
Yeah, it wasn't holding the air, to keep the leg on, to hold the suction and stuff.
We were literally in the Mount Washington Hotel looking up at the mountain, and Mike was like, this ain't working.
Yeah,
and we were like, okay.
So, I don't know. It was challenging from the get-go. I mean, you know, bad luck to start. So, we had to resort to crutches because one way or another, we're here. We're going to do this regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, we get to this little kind of brook. This it's pretty rapid, and you got this slippery log, and we have to walk across it. And Mike is, you know, he's looking around to see, all right, how can I hop through the water? How can I over rocks? And really there's no way. I mean, you're going to fall in if you do it that way and probably get hurt or something. So, and you don't want to start off where you're all wet and stuff going up the mountain. So I said,
absolutely
just hop on my back. I'll carry you across. So it was a bunch of us kind of, you know, saying, no, let me try this way. You know, I think Mike, you were scared to get on, I'm not sure, but I'm like, just get on my back, let's go.
The scariest part about going across the log is it was right next to like a big drop, so it was fast moving water, and if you would have stepped off of there, you literally had like probably a foot and you would be over probably a 3-foot drop. So I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how many times, Mike, I told you going up the mountain that I had to play your conscience for a second. I was like your bad side of your conscience. I was like, Mike, just I am your conscience. Get on my back. I'm tearing you over. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we made it. You know, we made it over. We didn't fall in. And, you know, after we did that, we're like, yes, we can conquer anything. We made it across as our first step to glory. And, Yep. And after that, we were pretty excited, and then we just started our incline, and it got pretty rough after a while. I think,
you know,
it was really rough on you, Mike.
To me, that was probably the most shocking thing is you don't really understand how quickly the incline starts when you start hiking. I mean, you know, most time you hike through the woods or something, you don't really realize it. But I mean, immediately as soon as we crossed, you're going up. And you keep going up and going up and going up. So, I mean, it was kind of stunning to me that immediately, oh, look, we're going up now. And this ain't going to stop for, like, 7 miles.
You know, and on top of everything else, like, you know, like Nick was saying, you know, I mean, it started right off the bat for me. You know, it was hard, you know, for a lot of the steps and stuff. I was taking these big steps. But, you know, another thing I was having problems with is, like, out in the woods, you know, like I was starting to realize a lot of the tree branches and stuff, like a lot of the roots and stuff, you know, where the tree's going into the ground, I would like get close to those areas to try to grab a hold of the, you know, the trees and stuff to kind of get my balance to get up the next step. And then my crutch would sink in a hole, like right by the tree roots. So like I was having to really be careful what I was doing with that, because that was, you know, I mean, that was dangerous, because we were getting like on these spots where there was ledges, and then, you know, my crutch would sink through and I'd lose my balance. And, you know, I mean, I could have easily, you know, fallen off, you know, over a ledge or something, you know? So, I mean, it was so crazy. I mean, how cautious we had to be with like every single step that we were taking.
Yeah. Cause a lot of that area was like, the trees and the roots and stuff were starting to rot away. So, I mean, you would step thinking and it was firm, and then it would just collapse. And with Mike's crutch, it was even worse. I mean, it would collapse even faster.
Yeah. Yeah, it would sink into some mud. I mean, we were making really good time when we first started. I think we were doing about a mile, 45 to 50 minutes was our mile. So I like the stride that we were moving in. It's just, you know, when we started getting to around 4 miles, you know, no matter, I don't care who you are, your legs and stuff like that, if you're not ready, especially with crutches, you know, I know Mike, your other leg was starting to swell up and under your arms were starting to get tired. So eventually the body will kind of start giving up in that sense, especially going up boulders and rocks and stuff, and you're inclining. So you had to resort about 4 mile mark is what I saw to hand over hand on the ground, which then it got really crazy. I just started getting really nervous on the timing, because I was looking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to get up to the top of the peak at a certain time, because they closed the mountain at 6 p.m. They closed the gates, everything at the top. So I was really nervous about that. We were up against time at that point, and I thought we'd have a ton of time because we started at 7 a.m., but that changed really quick.
And I'll tell you how this worked. When we were up there, and we were probably about 4 miles in or whatever, and we were like, you know, we should have plenty of time. We'll get off of here. And me and Mike was talking. We was like, we'll go find somewhere. We'll have a nice steak, and we'll be able to relax. And then as shit started to slowly just fall apart, I was like, yeah, we ain't eating no steak today. You know, it ain't happening. And we'll get to that later, but you know, as stuff started to get bad, you start to look at the clock and you're like, we're not making it to the top by this time. We got to do something, because if not, we're stuck here. We can't get out.
And I think at that point in time, I looked at Jeff and I looked at Mike, and they were drinking the water really fast. And I said, look, slow down on drinking how much water you have. Start sipping the water, because I don't know how much longer it's going to take. I think I said that just kind of jokingly, but I was serious at the same time. And I hadn't really drank any water yet at that 4 mile mark. And I took like small sips, and I looked at them and I'm like, slow down. And then I looked at Jeff and I said, hey Jeff, for a joke, cause we don't have a lot of food, cause we judged, you know, the resources that we had just knowing that we were going up, but I packed enough, like kind of like, just almonds and fruit and stuff like that, that would take us to the tarp. But I didn't pack enough to stay overnight or whatever, you know, for the worst case scenario. So I said jokingly to Jeff, hey, why don't you eat the bark on that tree? And he did, which
was
kind of interesting.
Yeah. You know, like
in that episode.
When I packed for myself, I packed more like, and when me and Mike were shopping for things, you know, it was kind of a survival mindset for me. So, you know, like Nick said, I had nuts, I had protein bars, I had stuff that was like high sugar, high carbs, and you could kind of stretch it out a little bit. But when I started hiking, you know, I kind of looked and I kind of say, what kind of water do we need? So we took, I started with like 3.5 pretty good sized bottles, and Mike had 3. And so we were kind of preserving as we went. But you know, as we got to the top, and or as I did, and you're going to hear about this story later when I thought I was literally going to die on the top of the mountain. but you know, at that point it was total survival mode. So I started to totally preserve water, and I didn't know what I was going to have to do to survive. Because there was a point where we were all separated. And that was when things got really, really, really sketchy.
You know, we had, like, one thing to think about, too, is, like, backtracking for just a second. Like, you know, we were talking about how it was getting harder going up. One thing you have to keep in mind, too, is I have more pressure on my leg because I'm putting all that body weight on the one leg, you know, with the crutches trying to climb this mountain. So, you know, the leg started wearing down on me, you know, even though I was, you know, I was going to the gym a lot, you know, and working out and stuff. But I mean, as we got further and further along, you know, I could feel the muscles and stuff starting to hurt because I had all that weight on the leg. And then, you know, trying to get through, you know, the crazy, if you want to call it obstacles or whatever, you know, I mean, the different challenges, you know, trying to climb up. I mean, it got crazy, and, you know, it wears you down really fast and you get tired.
Yeah. I mean, I was honestly amazed at, man, you must have been working so hard on your shoulders, triceps, and biceps because Mike was just burning them out so badly. He was literally on his butt, like hand over hand, going up backwards because we figured out it was really difficult on his leg and everything like that as he was crutching up some of the rocks. And then it got to the point where I was like, all right, you know, he'd had to resort down to doing that. And then eventually – we figured out, all right, during your breaks, when you would have to break and stuff, because you can only go for so far until your arms burn out and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I'm going to start carrying you in between your breaks up the mountain as fast as we can in, like, burst runs. And then I'll put you down, then you can climb a little bit more, and then I'll pick you up and carry you again. I think we did that for – I think I carried you for, like, about a mile.
Yeah, we figured it out at the end of the day.
And which, you know, at the end of the day, it was pretty – crazy because it started burning my left knee out a little bit because, you know, stepping up the big boulders and stuff. I think it got to a point where I was like hand on hand, like just you were on my back and we were climbing like almost
yeah.
in a vertical straight up. I was watching the raw footage of Jeff filming and I'm just carrying you and just like hand over here. We're spider climbing up the rocks of the mountain. It was pretty wild.
That was
man. Crazy.
Yeah, that
was
crazy.
Challenging. I mean, I don't know how you did it.
I thought
it was pretty epic, just massive training, you know. I mean, I was mentally prepared in case something like that happened because one way or another, I wanted you to get to the summit regardless, you know. It wasn't how we got there. It's just we had to climb and hike or whatever it took to get there. And I know mentally you were pretty much tapped at one point, and I saw emotionally you were just getting, like, wrecked. And I was just like, here comes the conscience again. Here I come to see the words of reason here. And I'm just like, Mike, I don't care what you do right now. I'm going to drag your ass up that hill if you don't start moving.
Well, you know, and it got better. Like, once we started getting out of the tree lines and stuff, too, then if you remember, like, if you guys probably remember, I got that second wind, too, because we got up and I saw the summit. You know, I saw the towers and stuff up there at the top, and I'm like, this is where we're going. And I got pumped, and I started getting more energy. I got that second wind again. But then, you know, that after so long, that gave out because, I mean, those boulders and stuff up above the tree lines were just destroying me. It was nuts.
Yeah, it got really hard. It got really tough when we got to a certain point. Yeah, that was the hard part, man. I mean, we got to a certain point where I was carrying you because you were just like – you were just spent. I remember you just being spent. You know, Jeff's way ahead. Jeff, your legs and stuff started giving out, I think, at some point. And
because, I mean,
you're just out there.
It really didn't weigh on you until, like, you're above tree line. And when you're above tree line, there's literally nothing to stand on but boulders. And the problem with the boulders are they're not like a gravel path or anything. I mean, they're huge boulders. So if you step wrong, you could literally get your foot wedged in the middle and snap your ankle or blow a knee out or anything. I mean, it was very dangerous. So there were some times when you were literally climbing hand over hand to try to get over these boulders.
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, it got to a certain point where, you know, the whole time, so we had our cars ready up top. I had, we had to split up two cars. We had Elizabeth, who was on walkie-talkie, making sure we were good all the way for safety. And she was filming a ton of other stuff of the mountain and the hike from a distance and, you know, stuff like that. And they would meet us up top. So my mom and her in two separate cars drove to the top, and she was in communication with us in case something terribly went wrong, which it did. So which was a good thing. But at a certain point, the walkie-talkies and stuff started failing, and certain things started happening where we didn't have reception. So I was carrying Mike because we started losing time. Like, we weren't going to make it at the specific time. It started getting late. And I think around 5 p.m., we were about 5 miles up, or just getting to 5 miles, when I was sprinting and running with Mike. I went to put him down at a certain spot on a boulder, and my shoelace kind of got stuck on, like, one of those twigs or whatever sticking out. And I went to just put him down before I could, like, stumble up. And I think you twisted one way, Mike, and I went to just kind of place you down the other way, and you kind of, like, strained your back in a weird way. As I put you down, I'm not too sure what happened to your back right there, but
what happened is like where I had both arms literally wrapped around Nick, you know, like around his neck. And you know how, obviously, you know, where the right leg is amputated and shorter, it kind of throws off the balance. And then, like, so when he went over, and this was kind of happening on those rocks when he was kind of doing the Spider-Man thing on some of these rocks when I was on his back. When he went over, like, I was holding up the top half, so I was holding on to him, but then the bottom half of me swung to the left because all the weight was on the left side where, you know, I have, you know, have my whole leg. So when I twisted around, I felt muscles like pull. I don't know what happened. It felt like somebody just took a knife and just kind of ran it in my back. And I was just like, oh, that's not good. So at that point, that's when we, you know, I tried to move a little bit more. And then finally I told Nick, I was just like, I'm out. This is where I'm tapping out. Cause I can't do it. You know what I mean? And it was just a combination of things. One, you know, I was hurting really bad, but I think what made it more intense was the fact that I was already really drained. I was exhausted. My body was shutting down. I was so tired and so sore, you know, I mean, literally every part of my body was aching, you know, and then that happened on top of it. And I think it just, you know, strained everything even more and just got me to that point. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah. And it was crazy because we were literally about 2 miles, I think, is what I judged it from where we were, 2 miles up to the summit. And, you know, it was already like, it was already getting close to six. So it was getting kind of, it was like, I think it was around 4:30, and we still had a good hour and a half to go or so, just based on, you know, how it was going. And I was starting to get really sore in my lower back and my knee just by carrying 165 pounds up the mountain. And I was just starting, like, man, if you can just move some more, I can carry you some more and move. But he couldn't move at all. And I was scared to put him back on my back just because Mike's back was so bad, you know, at that point. And I didn't want to injure him even worse. So I'm trying to walkie-talkie. And just right before this, too, to back up a little bit, right before this, Elizabeth walkie-talkies, and she's like, all right, I'm coming down the mountain. You're only about 2 miles or so out. By the time I get there, I'll help you guys. So she's coming down from the summit, right? And she tells me that, and then I lose kind of contact with her for a little bit, and I still don't see her. It's a while has passed. I'm like, where the heck is she? So I got Mike on my back. I put him down. She walkies me, like, or she walkies me or calls or something, and getting bad reception. She's like, I think I went down the wrong on the opposite side of the mountain on the same trail, but it's the more advanced version. So she's now, like down there, and it's really scary what she's describing to me. I mean, she'll have to describe it, but it was crazy. And she's telling me this. I have Mike going down. I have to pick up. I'm like, all right, I'm trying to figure out in my head. Do I come? I have to run to you right now to help you. And where are you? And then I'm like, oh, what do I do with Mike? So I'm like stuck in this weird pickle right now. And I'm like, oh my God, this is getting really wild fast. And then I'm like, where's Jeff? And Jeff's up a little bit farther filming from like top of the mountain. So I didn't know what to do. So she had this like, Elizabeth had this crazy experience going on. And then I got Mike suddenly after that, he goes down with his train back. So, and then she walkies back a little bit later talking about this epic experience she had, and she gets back to the top, I guess. And I said, all right, cool. I'm going to sprint as fast as I can to the summit 2 miles out. And I will go get help, you know, at the top before the rush run and everything closes at the top. So I just took it upon myself. I left, my dad was with us still, and he was up a little further. I left him down there to sit with him. And what I did is I just started sprinting with the 30-pound backpack, and I just sprinted as fast as I can, which was, oh my gosh, I think I made it to the summit at 2 miles in like 35 minutes or something. It was crazy because the altitude really kicked my butt after a while. And Jeff's way up on the top of like this part of this tip of the other mountain before you go another mile to the summit. And he's standing there, I'm like, and you'll see on the camera, I start telling him what happened, and I say, all right, stay here. And I just take off running. And I literally got to the summit, and I finally find Elizabeth, which has already talked to search and rescue. And I go in there, and I literally, you know, lay down on the ground for a second after I told them what happened, and, you know, they wanted to talk to me about it. And we were trying to orchestrate a plan of attack. And they start telling me, this is where it gets really wild. They start telling me that they're talking to search and rescue, and we're talking to them, and I'm like, oh my God. Basically, what they have to do is they're putting like a dozen people together or so for search and rescue. They're gonna come up from the bottom of the mountain, right where we started. They're gonna climb up from the bottom because it's easier that way, and it's getting late. It was around like 6 at that time, and they were starting to close up the place. And they said it's a rare instance. We'll have about till 8 to close down, but because I'm like, maybe I go back down and get them. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the search and rescue is coming up from the bottom, which is going to take, you know, it's going to take a couple hours. So I start kind of like in my mind going, all right, plan B, their convenience store is still open. So I start grabbing all their snacks. I grab like all these like Kit Kats and chips and all the worst stuff you can eat, but when your body is so thin, it's like what it needs to, you know, survive. So I'm packing tons of water bottles because we're running out of water, or they're running out of water, and I'm filling up my water bottles. And literally my backpack was about 45 pounds or so at that point. So I go back, and they're like, yeah, they're telling me that they're going to come up from the bottom of the mountain. They're going to get him. Then they have to take him down the mountain. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're going to die tonight. We wouldn't get to the bottom of the mountain until past midnight or so. Like, we're going to spend the night with nothing. So, like, at least we had sweaters and everything, which, you know, would be fine if we get below the tree line. But I was just prepared, you know, for water and food and stuff like that. And it was crazy. So I'm preparing. And then I say, all right, I tell Elizabeth to get me, I have to go back down. And as I'm running back outside, and this is like an hour or so later when I'm up there trying to figure it out with them, and the sun is starting to set, and I tell Elizabeth, my mom, to get me as close in the car to there's like a street you can go down, or the road that you can go down, and it kind of drops you off of like maybe less than a half a mile, where I can run straight across the mountaintop and all these like boulders, small boulders and stuff. If I skip them good enough, I was judging it. If I skip it good enough off the edge and not fall, obviously, and the wind is 70 miles an hour now, then I can make it to kind of like the opening of the other summit where the cog train is, and I can run the top of the summit and then drop back down quicker. you know, like a mile and a half, and we'll take off time. So I'm judging that, which is wicked, wicked dangerous. But I'm like, man, I got to get back to Mike. So that's what they do. And as they're driving down, as we're about to drive down, I hear Jeff just scream out. He's like, Nick, stop. He's like, he's literally coming up and his legs are spread. He's all like he just came out
I'm
of war
done.
Or something. Yeah. And Jeff, you jumped right in the car with my mom and you were just like,
yeah.
Spent. And you're like, I can't do it anymore. I'm done.
I'll tell you what happened. Like, and like on my version of what happened, like, so like I was like at the 1.4 mile marker to the summit, and that's where I was standing with the camera, and I was just getting shots and everything. And Nick came up and he told me what was going on, and then he went on. So I went on to follow him up because it's 1.4 miles. So, you know, we need to get out of there. So that's the biggest thing. We got to get out of there. Mike's down there. Nick's dad's with him. So he's at least safe. And he's kind of in this little crevice where he's kind of sheltered, not too much, but he's kind of sheltered. So I just continued to go. And so that last probably, I would say, 2 miles to 1.4 mile area I did by myself. And, you know, it got really, really, really difficult because there were times where you would lose the trail. And so I remember just going right by the Cog railway, and I followed it all the way up, which was awful because it's nothing but just elevation, elevation, elevation. And the most mentally just damaging part of the entire thing was you would go and go, and you'd be like, okay, well, the top's right here. And then you would hit that area, and then it would just grow, and it would continue to grow. So as you got to the next level, it would continue to grow. So you were like, oh, my God. And, you know, I was trying to preserve water. I was trying to preserve food because I was looking at the clock, and it was after time that it was closed up there. Nick was already up top, so I didn't know if they made him leave. I lost contact with him. The last text message I got from him that I finally received was, go with Mike, don't come up. And I was already,
yeah,
you know, like half mile away from the top. So I was like, okay, well, that's not good. So then I texted back and I said, I'm too far up. So I just kept going. And I remember getting up top where you could see the top at the summit. And there was like a parking area over here. And I saw what looked like Nick's car drive down the mountain, which it probably wasn't, but it looked like it. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm up here, so I'm screwed. So got to the top, and like Nick said, the wind gusts up there were like 72 mile an hour, and the temperature up there was about 38 degrees. So with the wind and the temperature, there was no cover whatsoever. And I've made it to the road, and that was difficult in itself because I'd been walking on boulders all day long. So when you get to the roadway, it feels weird. It feels like you're on some kind of alien surface. And so the wind was just whipping me like crazy, and I couldn't get a hold to nobody. I was trying to call people. I didn't know where anybody was. There was no cars in sight. And I remember this big yellow sign that said, you know, make sure to cool your brakes going down the roadway because, you know, brake failure, whatever. So I just hunkered down beside it because the wind was so bad. And, you know, I just sat there for a little bit, and I was like, okay, what do I need to do now? I had Mike's crutches with me. So Mike's crutches reached the summit, you know, because I was carrying them. They had me carry his crutches in case he could get it to a place where he could use them. So then at that point, I was like, okay, I can't take these crutches anymore. So I laid down by the sign, and I saw that there was a few people still up top at the summit house, you know, the little restaurant area. And so I was like, okay, well, there's at least people, and I can maybe go carjack somebody. So I was like, my mission right now is to get off this mountain. However I got to do it, I'm getting off this mountain. So I kept walking, and I remember one time I was actually hunkered down to like this little rock wall walking up beside it on the road because the wind was so strong. And then when I got there, all the shuttle buses, the vans were there, and I was like, okay, there's at least one of those. and there was like 30 steps to get up to where you needed to be. And those were the most painful steps I've ever climbed in my life. And I, as soon as I got to the top of the steps, I saw Nick's car, I saw his mom's car, and I was like, okay, I need in. So as soon as I got the car, I was done. And I just started eating and drinking, and, I mean, I was spent. It was, but in that time where I didn't know if there were people up there, I was starting to look around because I had in my backpack what I needed survival-wise. I could have made a fire. I could have made a shelter, but the winds would have been too high for that. But if I needed to, I could have probably made it back down to Mike and them, and we could have done something. But it was ridiculous. And the road going down the mountain was even scarier. You know, that may have been one of the scarier parts because there was no guardrails.
I can totally see you, Jeff, like starting to, you know, try to light Mike's crutches on fire to make a fire.
So when we were driving back down, I told Nick's mom, I was like, stop right here. I got to get Mike's crutches. I left them by the sign. So I grabbed his crutches and I rescued his crutches off the mountain.
Yeah, I mean it was crazy. I mean, once he got in, we went down just a little bit off the where the restaurant is, and then they pulled over the side, and I basically, you know, I remember telling them, you know, if anything happens to me, just take care of my kids. And I literally that was the last thing I said, and I don't know what you saw, Jeff, but I just sprinted. I sprinted across the top line.
This was like going the day of the hike. Like, I was, like, messaging people, and I was like, listen, if anything stupid happens up there, you know, just make sure this goes on. I mean, like, literally, you don't know what's going to go on up there. And,
yeah, you
know, reading about some of the stuff and stuff like that, I mean, I wanted to make sure that the people I needed to talk to, I made sure they knew. You know, I made sure that was happening. I made sure that went on. And, you know, I remember telling my mom before I left, I was like, if you do not hear from me by Sunday, you get a damn helicopter in the air and let's get these people rescued.
It
was a situation where I was like, okay, we got to do something now. So when I got to the top and it really shows you, like, going through survival classes and things like that, they always talk about you got to have, like, positive mindset when you're going through a situation like that. And as it got challenging going up there and I was by myself, you literally have to keep your mind focused on what you have to do because your mind starts playing 1,000 games. And you're like, okay, I can't go any further. I can't do this. I can't do that. And you got to just keep driving forward. I mean, it was insane at parts.
Yeah,
you know,
it was crazy.
What even added more, like, you know, keeping, like, when you guys were gone, like, when you took off, Nick, when you went to get help, you know, and Jeff was ahead and everything, and your dad was with me, like, you know, they called back. I mean, because, like, I don't know who it was, but somebody called back and said that he needed to call 911 so they could figure out where we were at. So while you guys were gone, as much pain as I was in, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get off of this, so I have to keep moving because I don't know what's going to happen. So I keep moving even though, you know, my body is, like, worn out. My back was hurting on top of that. I kept moving. I kept scooting up the mountain, you know, and then he called 911. They got the coordinates, you know, where we were at. And then, like, we kept going. I don't know how long we kept going, but we went, like, quite a bit. We went quite a ways, and then somebody called him back. And it was, you know, the Fish and Wildlife. They called him back, and they were like, okay, so we just pinpointed where you're at now. And if you guys have a little over a half a mile that you can go, and then we can get the train up the train up the mountain, and then we can come get you from that point. So I'm like, great, I have to keep going. And then, you know, they're telling me a half mile. So, and then obviously I could see where the train was coming up. It was more than a half mile to get there. But, you know, I mean, I was like, I don't have any choice because, I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, you know, the sun was going down. I mean, you know, it was going to be sunset for too long. And I was just like, I have to keep moving because I don't know where I'm going to be, you know. I'm just at that point. I'm just like, I don't know what's going to happen to me, you know. So, I mean, I just I just kept moving, you know, and then we got to that point, and then, like, where we kept moving, and then we got to this area to where then I saw Nick come back. So he got back to me, and then we got over on this one big, large area. You know, they were, we saw the train stop, the guys were getting off, they were walking their way, you know, up, the team was, you know, with the stretcher and everything, and we were sitting there, and I was just like, I'm ready to get off this mountain. But, you know, I mean, I remember sitting there, and I told Nick, I was like, you know, let's take a picture. Because, like, this, you know, this is the end of the day. Let's take a picture. So we take a picture, and then that's when we pulled this video out, and we filmed that little segment there saying, you know, rescue's on the way, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm hurting, but I'm okay, and, you know, and all that. And then we were talking about posting, and I was just like, this is going to go bad because my phone's going to blow up as soon as I post this. Everybody's going to be blowing my phone up saying, what's going on? Call me, you know, you know, but we posted it, and it was more of one of those things of just to let people know we're alive, because I think didn't your phone was dead, but I think, wasn't it, Nick? And then Jeff was gone, so, nope, you know, we were kind of out of commission. Nobody knew what was going on. I had my watch was on, you know, and me and my sister do, you know, the challenges back and forth. So when I started doing the outdoor walk with my Apple Watch, my sister was seeing the updates, you know, as we were going. Well, then, you know, my watch died because we were out there all day. So that stopped updating her, you know, so she didn't know where we were at because, I mean, you know, it wasn't updating as us, you know, moving up the mountain or anything. Nobody had heard anything from us, you know, social media-wise and stuff like that. So, you know, the last thing we post is that at the end of the day, everybody's lost their minds, you know, but it was more of those things, you know, well, hey, we're still alive, but, you know, I couldn't talk to anybody. I mean, it was just that, you know, the focus was just, I went off the mountain. I'm not going to worry about everything else after I get off the mountain. So, you know, and then these guys come up, and of course they're messing with me. They, you know, I remember they got the stretcher ready and stuff, you know, they're talking to me. They're just like, I'm like, I really don't like this guy, you know, cause I'm laying on a stretcher. I'm going to be looking up at the sky, not knowing what's going on as they're carrying me off the side of a mountain. So, you know, I'm not too keen on it. I'm like, if you guys drop me, I'm pretty much screwed because I'm strapped into this thing. You know, I'm just going to slide all the way down the mountain, you know? So I'm kind of freaked out, you know? But that, you know, and of course they were kidding with me. They're like, oh, we haven't dropped anybody in a week. I'm like, thanks. I know you're kidding, but you're really messing with me right now because I'm exhausted, you know. But, I mean, it went well. I mean, the team was awesome. It was cool that they brought the train up, you know, to help get me off there. And you know, it was cool. Nick came back and you know, toughed it out with me and all that. You know, I'd like, no offense, but I was thinking, you know, this is where the team would come get me and, you know, get me out, you know, out of there. And then we would see everyone, you know, at the bottom of the mountain and all that stuff. But, you know, Nick came back and we were just kind of sitting there in the sun was setting. So it was kind of cool. We could just sit there and just kind of hang out on the edge of the cliff there on a big rock and just kind of watch the sun going down as we're waiting on rescue to come pull me off the mountain. But it was crazy.
Yeah, it was one of those rare experiences. Like, when I was running back down the mountain about 2 miles, the sun started to kind of slowly set. And it was rare because we were on the day of the cog train anniversary, 150 years. So it was a unique experience to be there on the mountain when we were climbing. And it wouldn't have happened. Like, we would have had to went back going down the mountain with the search and rescue team. So the whole run back for 2 miles, that's what I thought was going to happen. Carrying 50 pounds now, and I got one of those big batteries. Elizabeth gave me this big battery so I could plug my phone into it in case so I could charge it overnight, so it made it even heavier. I'm literally sprinting down the mountain, and I got to Mike, and they update me saying that the search and rescue is taking the cog train going up instead, and they'll be here soon. And I brought a camera with me too because Jeff was done, so I started filming everything. And when I got down there, I filmed the train coming up. We were sitting there, and I filmed. I mean, man, I was sitting there up on top of a rock when they got Mike on the stretcher. I ran ahead to the top of the mountain a little bit further where the train was, and I'm sitting there filming in the distance, and I'm just seeing the sunset. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. You don't really get to be up here at this time and see the sunset, you know, because they closed the park.
Yeah.
And it was just a clear day. It's like we got so lucky. Someone was looking after us, because I'm telling you right now, if it was raining or storming or something, we would have been royally just – we would have been very quickly. It would have been
really
bad.
The one thing for me that was probably – The scariest thing to was whenever I didn't know how they were going to rescue Mike. So the last thing I heard was they're not going to be able to rescue him because we were literally above where a helicopter would come. So they wouldn't fly that high. So like Nick was saying, they did not know at first what they were going to do. And that was the first time they had ever used that cog to rescue somebody, as far as I know. From everything we saw when they were doing stories on it, that was the first time they ever used it because he was so high up. Because when you all told them, okay, here's what we got to do, and they were like, well, where are you at? And you told them, they were like, that's really high. Like, that's really high up. That's going to be a challenge. So, you know, it was a really bad situation. And I remember, you know, like Lee and Jennifer, I was texting them, telling them kind of what was going on, and I told them, they were like, well, people are asking if they've heard anything. I was like, do not say anything until I tell you for sure what we know, because we don't know how bad this is going to be yet. So I mean, it was starting to get crazy.
It was scary, but for me it was personally a rush. Like, I was
me too.
I was in it.
Yep.
I it was like, you know, when you're in some sort of situation like this, I'll never leave anyone behind. And it's one of those things where I just felt like all the training, everything that we worked so hard on came to this point. And I told Mike, too, sitting there, you know, when we were waiting for search and rescue to walk up, I said, dude, it doesn't matter if you like, hit the exact summit point. You're literally a mile and a half, not even from it, and you can see it. You know, you can see it where we're sitting. You made it. At the end of the day, you make
it was
regardless
right
if you're sitting there. So I'm like, regardless, you've accomplished something that probably no one ever has on one leg, number one, because I don't think anyone actually has crutched up a mountain or tried to go hand up a mountain like that. So I think you're the first one ever to try to do that I know of, unless somebody else has done that, but I highly doubt that. So mad props to you, and, you know, raise good money for a good cause, and I think it was all worth it. And even the search and rescue team, they were amazing. Everyone on Mount Washington, everyone at the top of the summit, you know, all the way down to the fish and game. I forget his name, but the head of the head of chief, what was his name? I have his card somewhere, his business card. I mean, everybody was amazing. Even the president who the guy who ran the cog train and owned it and stuff, he came out. I mean, everyone was there. It was like, it was crazy when Mike and I got off the train. It's almost like it was like a homecoming, you know. Everyone was there, like a parade, and it was all these people, the police and people, and they were all kind of cheering. Everyone was happy, and everyone did it for a good cause. And, you know, there was no one got hurt at the end of the day necessarily in that sense. So, you know, we could all go home to tell about this story that was epic. And everybody will see it very soon on VidiSpace, the episode. I'm going to be editing it soon. We're putting it together, and it is by far extremely epic. So this is the first adventure to many more. We're already starting to plan the second one that we're going to be doing.
Yep.
Not a mountain, but something a little bit funner. We have all sorts of ideas, crazy ideas. We should just put something up and tell people to write in and say, what do you think we should conquer? You know, we're looking at maybe doing a Spartan race or swimming across a river.
Maybe we take a boat across the river. Maybe that's a fun, exciting thing that's a little safer.
You sit in a boat and film, Jeff, and Mike and I will swim it. We'll swim it a couple miles across the lake or something.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but I mean,
Jeff, you and I got a boat. You and I can handle the boat.
That's right.
We'll
they want to swim. I'm in the boat. Okay.
Yeah,
you
I don't
know,
like boats anyways. I'd rather swim.
I wanted to get to the summit, you know, but I am happy with as far as I got because, you know, I was at the top of the mountain. I was looking at the summit. I mean, I was that close to it, you know. I mean, I was that close. I mean, you know, and for what I went through and everything, you know, like I said, overall, you know, I think I proved the point is, you know, I pushed myself. I don't like way beyond what I thought that I could actually do, you know, in the end. And, you know, that was one of the things to it. And then the other is, you know, if any of these kids come up and say, you know, I don't know if I can do this or I don't think I can, then I can say, hey, look at this. I climbed this mountain, you know, I didn't get to the tip top, but I was at the top on one leg with crutches. If I can do that, you're this, you know, you're a young kid, you just got a prosthetic or whatever. If you put your mind to it, you can go way beyond what I pulled off, you know?
Yep. Yeah, you did. I mean, it's incredible, Mike, that you guys, you know, you accomplished, and then, you know, having some great friends going with you on that just made a lot of difference too. And
I want to tell one last story. Yeah. And this is after we got off the mountain, me and Mike were riding in the car together. And our goal at that stage was food, because we literally had not ate a meal all day long. We started that morning. We didn't eat breakfast. We had just ate those snacks that we had all day long. So me and Mike were starving. So we looked up, and when we were going to the other hotel, we looked it up, and I was like, okay, we need to figure out something to eat. So there was a McDonald's, and it was like 10 miles away from the hotel. And so we drove there. Yeah, we drove there because we had to eat. And so I had two Big Macs, a large fry, and an apple pie, and Mike had two quarter pounders and a large fry. And that was like the best meal that we had had. I mean, it tasted like heaven. We wanted a New York strip. That was our plan, but we didn't get it.
Yeah,
it was great.
Oh man, it sounds so gross. I did not go do that. I ate like
we did.
I don't know how you did that. I literally.
But then
ate
the next morning, like you could tell you were starving. Nick was starving all night long, because the next morning he had like the biggest breakfast plate.
The thing is, there was not enough beds in the hotel room, so I literally slept on the couch. Oh, my gosh. Talk about after you climb a mountain like that and you run 2 miles up, then 2 miles down and all this stuff, it's like my body was so sore. I literally slept on the couch like sideways, and I woke up the next morning. I was so starving. So I just had like a stack of French toast, like three scrambled eggs, bacon, hash
browns. The day after. And when we laid down to try to go to sleep, we would jerk, like have a nightmare, like we were climbing on those rocks, and it would jerk us awake, and I'd be like, okay, we're in a hotel room. I'm good. Like,
it
I'm
was,
not on the mountain anymore.
Yeah,
it was
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, I mean,
it
was like
we
I don't know what it
again.
Was. I don't know what it was, but that whole night, every time I would close my eyes, I'd see those stupid rocks up on the mountain, and it was messing with me really bad. I mean, I didn't sleep that good the whole night. I mean, because it messed with me, you know, just like, I mean, it mentally and physically drained me. I mean, it like I said, I mean, it got the best of me. I mean, I got to the top though, but man, it was rough. I mean, definitely the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
And I'll tell you the one of the coolest things for me was I grabbed like four rocks off the top, because I was taking a piece of that mountain home with me. So, you know, I grabbed a rock for me and my two daughters, and then a friend of mine that, you know, asked me to bring something back. And I was like, okay, well, what better, you know, souvenir than a rock off the top of the mountain? So, you know, where I almost died. So, you know, it was a crazy experience, and I really enjoyed it.
Hey, we've got about a minute left. So you guys want to tell everybody how you get a hold of, you know, check out Nick Groff Tour and the Biddy Space and then Lost Limbs.
Yeah. So the episode for what we just filmed on Mount Washington will be on Biddy.space very soon in the near future. We'll be premiering that episode. It will be an ongoing series. We'll take a bunch of, like, just different challenges, and we'll be doing more of these episodic type of journeys. So you'll be able to follow us, all of them, on Viddy.space. So go there, check it out, subscribe, 15-day free subscription. We're on Roku, Amazon Prime, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Android TV, iOS, Android apps. Just search Viddy Space, V-I-D-I space, And then, yeah, Nick Ruff tour, more tours coming up in the near future. Stay tuned. Just go to our social media pages. You can check it all out. Mike, you can tell them about Lost Limbs Foundation.
Yeah, you can on Facebook, Lost Limbs Foundation. You can just hunt it, search it there. Instagram, Twitter. You can go to LostLimbsFoundation.org, and I think all those links and everything are on there, where you guys can check that out and just follow from all the platforms there.
And if you want a crazy videographer, go to OutTheWindowMedia.com, and I'll film whatever you need me to.
Yep.
Including another
mountain.
So.
And little white worms that crawl around at the top.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe next one we'll conquer Mount Everest, but I'll wait for you guys
I'm good.
Tell me go on
I'm
that.
Good on that one.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
You guys can get in line.
Mike, I just want to say thanks for letting me for host your show tonight, and I appreciate it, and especially with Jeff and Nick and you guys being guests on there, so it's great. And I think we'll
appreciate it.
Out of here. Let you guys have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you. It was good seeing you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys.
Thanks, guys, for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
What's that?
Right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks
for having me listening. Night.
All right, bye.
Yep. All right, we'll see you guys. That wraps it up then, huh, Robin?